Good morning, and welcome again to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp with my wife, Jean, from Brandywine Flags here in studio. Our special guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Henry Dietering, U.S. Marine Corps. Hank, welcome to the show. I know that you've been here before. This is a special Memorial Day weekend program that we're going to offer to you folks. Memorial Day is a day where we honor those who have passed and have died in our military, those that never came home. And Hank, what is the history of Memorial Day and how have we lost that?
Well, Michael, the history or the beginning of Memorial Day goes back to 1868 after the Civil War. General Logan, who was commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared May 30th as Decoration Day. Decoration Day is what it was known for years. He asked that people honor those who had passed in the Civil War by decorating their graves. And that was done by men and women, especially a lot of the women, a lot of the wives, and the mothers of the deceased servicemen around the country. And that tradition continued for years. After World War I, Decoration Day became known as Memorial Day, and it became a day to remember and to honor all the American servicemen and women who'd given their lives in the defense of this great nation.
More recently, this has really changed from a day of remembrance to basically the first day of summer. How did that happen? How did all this come about?
Well, you're right. I noticed that this year, Memorial Day is coming a week early in my mind. You know, I still think of Memorial Day as being the 30th of May. This year, it's almost a week earlier because it's got to be on a Monday so we can have a three-day holiday. And I think there's two reasons this has happened. I think the first reason is that most American families have little connection to death in uniform. The vast majority of American families have no contact with the war, with any war, much less know somebody who died in that war. You know, my generation was raised by the greatest generation, the servicemen of the Second World War. Our fathers were in the service, our teachers served in the Second World War, and they taught us. Times were different for our families when I grew up. Today we write letters to dear soldier and send packages to a unit that somebody picks for us. Right after, during the Second World War, people wrote letters and sent packages to family members. Today, you know, the media does a story about somebody who was wounded, but years ago everybody knew somebody who was wounded or knew a family that had lost a father, a son, or a brother. And today, there are limited casualties. That's a good thing. But 10 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, a little over 5,000 Americans have been killed. During the Second World War, in just 4 years, not 10, but 4 years, over 416,000 Americans were killed. 26,000 of them were in the 8th Air Force alone. 19,000 Marines died in the Pacific. A third of them died on a 2-by-4-mile island of Iwo Jima. You know, we're fortunate that losses are greatly reduced, but as a result, we're also greatly removed. And I think the second reason that Memorial Day has become a three-day vacation is that nobody's taught us about the sacrifices of our service members. That just doesn't happen today.
Yeah, you've talked about this before. What should we know about today and the lessons that should be taught about this?
Well, you know, if we're going to talk about Memorial Day, I'm going to sort of focus on some of the memorials that we have that people don't know too much about. After World War I, the United States created the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington Cemetery. The cemetery's been there since the Civil War, but we placed the Tomb of the Unknown there. And that was by agreement of all the Allies after the First World War. France, Belgium, and England did the same thing. We interred the remains of a World War I soldier there. If you visit Arlington Memorial Cemetery, and you go up to the top of the cemetery, up behind where the Tomb of the Unknown is, to where the old original Civil War graves are, most of those graves say unknown. I don't think too many people are aware of how many unknown service members we used to have. Yeah, but every year we hold ceremonies at Arlington and at our other memorials on the National Mall, the Vietnam Memorial, the Korean Memorial, the World War II Memorial. And I think these are great places to talk about and to begin to teach these lessons.
You know, looking going forward, we'll never have another unknown. Because of DNA, we can identify who everybody is. So these are kind of special places that will never be recreated in the future, and commemorate those in the past. Do you have a memorial that you look at not as a favorite, but as a special memorial to you?
Funny you should ask, and I think you know the answer.
Was that a rhetorical question I just asked?
I think it probably was, yeah. The Vietnam Memorial, of course, is special to me, and it is for several reasons. I think, one, because it was my war, but also because I think it's very personal to every person who died. The names of every serviceman who died are on that wall. The wall is very simple. It's almost dropped into the ground. And those names are listed in the order in which somebody was killed. So the first name on that wall is the first person who died in the conflict. And the last name on the wall is the last person who died in the conflict. In between is everybody else in the order that they were reported dead. If there's a John Jones on that wall, and there are five John Joneses who died in the Vietnam War, that name is going to appear in five different places, but it'll appear in chronological order. And if John Jones was with any of his buddies when he got killed, his name is going to be listed in the same place. If I go to look up a pilot who was killed in an A-6 and his bombardier navigator died with him, those names are going to be side by side. It's a very personal thing. And the third thing I would tell you about that Vietnam Memorial is that I think more than any other memorial in this country, any other structure in this country, I think the Vietnam Memorial did a lot to heal a great divide that existed in the United States at the time.
How can a memorial heal a country?
Well, it's interesting. And before I answer that, I should probably talk a little bit about what was wrong or what situation existed in the United States when I came back from that war in the early 70s in Vietnam. Since that time, a lot has changed about how citizens view our military, and that's what I mean when I say it's healed. And I think the Vietnam Memorial, that wall as we know it in Washington, D.C., although it may not have been directly responsible for it, and although the timing of the building of that memorial may be coincidental, there are thousands of veterans like myself who are always going to look at that wall and give it credit for changing the way people felt in this country, because that simple memorial touched the hearts of the people in this nation, touched our hearts personally. I think it touched the heart of the nation, and that's what brought us back together. And that was an important step for us. I think more than any place else in this country, you can go there, you can feel the impact that it had, and you walk away knowing that something's different, and you feel a little bit better about yourself coming away from there.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side and continue the conversation.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Exton area, Marchwood Shopping Center. And our special guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Hank Dietering. If you've just joined us, we've been talking about the real meaning of Memorial Day. And we've pretty much lost that that meaning, that Memorial Day is a day where we honor those who never came home, those who lost their lives in the theater of war. Actually, the music that we selected today is called Hymn to the Fallen, and this is a special piece that that I've selected only because it does honor those men and women who sacrificed all for our benefit. Hank, we were talking about the history of Memorial Day and what have you. Let's just continue on with that, the important steps for knowing what Memorial Day really is.
Okay, Michael, and I think when we broke, I was talking about the Vietnam Memorial, and actually all war memorials being a great place to teach our young citizens about the history and the struggles of this nation and about the people who gave their lives in defense of it. And I was talking about my personal belief that the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the wall as most people refer to it, how it's been responsible for a healing that took place in this country. And I think most people, certainly people my age, but the young people as well, I think are aware that this country was really touched by a divisiveness during that war. And I think it was an important step for this country to heal, and I think we've done a good job. You know, from 1960 to 1973, 9 million Americans served in our armed forces, and a third of them went to Vietnam. When these veterans came home, these individual servicemen were expected to account for the politics of the war. And I think that was a great injustice. Thank goodness that doesn't happen today. These poor men and women went to Vietnam and did what they were asked to do. They served, as it says on the Confederate Soldiers Memorial at Arlington Cemetery, they served not for fame or reward, nor for place or rank, but in simple obedience to duty as they understood it. They did the job their country asked them to do. Then they came home and they were confronted and asked to account for things that so many people in our country didn't agree with. Now, simple obedience to duty as they understood it is how it's always been for individual soldiers. And I think they deserve our thanks and our respect.
Well, they certainly didn't get it when they came home. Men and women were spit on by the people here. They were thought to be held responsible for the political correctness, if you will, of the war, and they went because they were sent there.
And also the media portrayed the Vietnam veteran as a Vietnam soldier, Marine, as baby killers and, you know, dope addicts and so forth and so on, and that surely didn't help.
No, that was just you're right. It was a total injustice on the return.
Well, I experienced some of that, and I'm happy to say that by the end of my career in the Marine Corps, I saw my Marines who were excited to go home and take their uniforms instead of wanting to leave it in the closet and have nobody know that they served. But during the Vietnam era, a lot of people lost sight of what the job of the military man was. And because they were disturbed by the politics of the war, they lashed out in protest, and they lashed out at individual service members. There were a lot of popular beliefs or misconceptions that people had that fueled the frustration that they directed at individual soldiers. One of those misconceptions was that the soldiers of the Vietnam War were different. They were thought to be young, poorly educated, disproportionately minorities, and mostly lower class. The truth of it is that the average age of the men and women who served in Vietnam was 23. The average age in the Second World War was 25. 79% of them were high school graduates. During the Second World War, that number was only 24%. 20% of the people who were in Vietnam or whose names are on the wall were college graduates. Those who killed in the Second World War, it was only 7%. And here's a figure that pretty much tells you that the people who served and the people who died in the Vietnam War were a cross-section of America. 13.1% of the U.S. population was black and Hispanic. 12.6% of the military were black and Hispanic. 12.2% of the casualties were. And 30% of them were from the lower third of the economic stratus in the country. 26% were from the upper third.
This was a perfect cross-section of who we were as a country. And like you said, people are now making it a disproportionate observation that this was targeted to the lower class and the minorities and what have you, which is totally untrue. But as I've said in the past, if you say something often enough and with enough passion, it becomes fact, and it's not fact.
Well, no, and people believed that the soldiers of the war were draftees who didn't want to be there, but 77% of the names on the wall are volunteers. 77% of them volunteered to go there. The soldiers of Vietnam were like the soldiers of any war, and I can tell you that it hurt to be treated differently.
So how does the one memorial change the attitude of a nation and heal the years of distrust and ill will?
Well, I think this incredibly simple monument was just an overpowering place to visit, and it had the same effect on everybody. And the effect it had all came because it was totally personal. It was the names, all of them. There was no service listed, no rank listed. The men were simply listed in the order they fell, often listed with their buddies, and everyone was important. Every name is equal. Every name is the same size. You know, if you look at the other war memorials, the personal aspect of a memorial is important to me. If you see the Korean War Memorial, which is very close on the mall to where the Vietnam Memorial is, there are life-size figures cast in bronze. If you visit that late in the day or early evening in the rain, you'll be scared to death, at least if you were a soldier you would, because you'll think you're in the middle of a platoon in the assault. They are so lifelike, and with their ponchos, their weapons, these statues moving, they look like they're moving through the field. There's a personal aspect of it. The World War II memorial is beautiful, but I'm not a fan of it because there's no real personal aspect to it. But the Vietnam Wall, the Vietnam Memorial, is a totally personal place. It's all about the names. It's all about the people. And they're engraved in marble, and when you go there, you see reflections in that marble. You see the people staring back. And a lot of people claim that what they see is somebody else's face coming back from them at that wall. And it seems that when people visit that memorial, it evokes a story from everybody who visits. Nobody walks away from that memorial and isn't touched by it. I think the Vietnam Memorial is probably the most intensely personal piece of public property in the United States. I've visited veterans' memorials around the world, but nowhere have I visited a memorial that more personally honors each and every veteran of that war. Anybody who lost somebody in that conflict can go there and find their person, that name, put their hand on it, hold it, and be close to them for a moment or for a memory. And nowhere else is every person who gave their life memorialized any better than they are at that wall. I don't think anybody can walk away without a feeling of respect and appreciation for individual soldiers. And I don't think people walk away without letting somebody know how it made them feel. And that's why I would tell you that wall healed the nation. And there's nothing about that monument that even hints of politics. There's nothing about why we fought. There's nothing about who won. It's only about the people. Only about our people. And it pulled us all together. And that's why I think it's such a wonderful place.
When I went to when Michael and I went down to the Vietnam Mall, It was very moving for me, and it was amazing to see a lot of, obviously, Vietnam vets there, and some of them were crying, and some of them were touching the wall, but you could see how moved they were. And then there were also all those little mementos that people leave at the base of the wall and everything. And it was just you're right, it was a very, very moving experience.
Yeah, I've been there twice. It took me probably 20 years before I went the first time, and I think what really grabbed at my soul was the fact that when you go to look up a name, there's a directory, and it looks like a phone directory, and the incredible thing is that everyone in the directory is gone. It's like the phone directory of a major city, but every name in there is someone who has passed, who's died. And I think that grabbed me more than almost anything in visiting the wall. But you're absolutely right that there is something about that does grab at your heart. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side, and we'll continue on our Memorial Day honoring those that have passed.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Exton area in the Marchwood Shopping Center. And our guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Hank Dietering, 20 years U.S. Marine Corps. If you're just joining us, we're speaking on the meaning of Memorial Day and how we've kind of lost our way, that we think of it as a three-day holiday for picnics and opening your swimming pool and going to the Jersey Shore. Where really it's to honor those who have given all in defense of our country. And we were talking about the Vietnam Wall in the last segment. Hank, I understand that you've only visited the Vietnam Memorial one time, and that after you made that visit, you vowed you'd never go back. Tell us what happened about that.
Well, Michael, I visited the wall in the spring of 1988. I had taken a day off from work to take my son to a doctor's appointment. And after the appointment, instead of taking him back to school, we drove down to Washington, D.C. and went to the Air and Space Museum. Played hooky for the day. It was early afternoon when we were ready to drive home, but I wanted to visit the new Vietnam Memorial. And my son was young, he was tired, and it was raining a little bit. So I let him stay in the car, and I walked over to the wall. When I got there, there wasn't a soul around, and for the entire time that I was there alone. It was really an eerie feeling. It reminded me of being in the jungle, soft rain falling, the silence. You talked about the Book of Names. I walked up to that book, looked up a friend, located his name on the wall, felt the letters, saw myself looking at him in the reflection. Then I went back to the book and looked up another name. And I repeated my journey too many times. And I was there for at least 15 minutes by myself in that steady, quiet, soft rain. And I felt like I just had an out-of-body experience. And that night when I was home, I told my wife that Henry and I had played hooky and gone to D.C. And when I told her that I'd been at the Vietnam Memorial, she asked me what it was like. So I described the experience that I just described to you, and I added, I'll never go back. I just couldn't, because it would never be the same.
Have you ever been tempted to return?
I have, and I actually, in 2001 at Springfield College, I gave a speech at the traveling wall, but I haven't been tempted to go back to the actual memorial in Washington. Although 5 years after my first visit and my only visit, when I was an assistant principal, I took the senior class on a one-day trip to Washington. And during the ride down, as the students were getting organized into groups and deciding where to go, one group of students asked me if I'd take them to the Vietnam Memorial. Well, I told them I couldn't do it, and they looked at me like amazed, and so I told them why. And interestingly enough, they didn't question my decision, but then one of the students asked me if I could give him a name to look up. So I did that. And as soon as I gave him a name, another student asked for a name. And pretty soon, I had about 10 students all asking me for a name to look up. And I gave them each a name. One of the students said to me, those names are all different. And I said, they are, and they're all special. And this afternoon when we get on the bus to come home, I want you to tell me what's so special about the names. Well, when we arrived in D.C., I took my group to tour the FBI building and go to the National Mall, and that group of students headed off with one of the other chaperones down towards the Vietnam Wall. I didn't see them for the rest of the day, but later that afternoon, as we loaded aboard our buses and headed home, I found the students that had asked me for the names, and I said, so, did you get to the Vietnam Memorial? And they said, yeah. And I asked them what their impression was, and they were all very impressed with the memorial. And I said, so, what was special about those names? And at first, all I got from the students were blank stares. But then one of the students said to me, they were all together. What does that mean? And I told them that's exactly what it means, that they were all together. That actually there are 22 names grouped together there, 22 Marines who all died in the same afternoon in the same place, the same time. And that's why their names were all together. As we'd mentioned earlier, they were put there in chronological order. At first, the students were pretty quiet, but then they pressed me for details. And it wasn't easy for me to tell them about the 17th of June, 1969, when I was a forward air controller with the 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, outside of what was left of a little village called Gio Linh in Vietnam. But I realized that they needed to know, and on a personal level, they needed to know about the sacrifices that those Americans had made and why their names were on that wall. And I've come to realize what I realized then, that all veterans need to share their story with the generation that doesn't know or appreciate what people have sacrificed.
I agree completely that veterans should share their stories. In fact, I wrote a book and with 28 stories of veterans that come to my store, Brandywine Flags. And I think it's really important that these stories don't die with the veterans, that they be told, and people should tell their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, nephews, their neighbors, neighbor children, our teachers, if there are any teachers that have been in that are veterans, they should tell, you know, their students and so forth and so on. I think it's really, really important that we pass this legacy on to the future generations, because freedom isn't free, and these kids need to know that.
Yeah, today, actually, America's no longer at war. Our military's at war, but America's at the mall. We're just kind of going along to get along, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. We're going to go to the soccer games and whatever, and we don't realize that all gave some and some gave all, and those that gave all gave it at a young age. They gave up their lives so that we can live the way we do. I know that some of you that may have listened to our programs, previous programs, what have you, we've had Hank on now 3 different times. This is his 3rd visit with us. And he actually shared that story of the Vietnam Wall several months ago. And it's just, to me, it's one of the most moving things, because Hank, you were one of those, you came home, but you were a casualty on that day also, were you not?
Actually, I was with a group of about 70 people, and there were 22 people got killed and 40 of us got wounded. So just about everybody that I was with was a casualty that day.
Yeah, so you actually were awarded the Purple Heart as a result of 17 June of 1969 also.
I don't know if any of you know this, but we have a Veterans Memorial in Downingtown, and the first memorial that they put up when they started the whole memorial was the World War II memorial, and then they did Korea, because those people are dying, and they wanted to get them up as quickly as possible. Then they did the Vietnam memorial, and they asked, when they unveiled it, they asked any people in the audience that were in Nam to please help unveil the memorial, and about maybe 15 people did, and it was amazing, because once they unveiled it, the guys just, they were crying, they were hugging each other, and it was so wonderful to see them have the opportunity to, for that closure to for these non-vets.
Right, that memorial in Downingtown is for those that have served in all the different wars and all the different conflicts, so that it's a very nice tribute to all of those all those folks. So we'll be taking a break now, and we'll be back in just a bit.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education. And the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Henry Dietering, U.S. Marine Corps, 20 years of service. And we've been talking about Memorial Day and the meaning of Memorial Day and how we've lost that whole meaning. It's now a day to open your pool and a day to go to the beach and a three-day holiday and hamburgers and hot dogs, and It's a day where we really need to refocus and remember those men and women that have sacrificed all in the theater of war. And we talked about the different memorials and so forth, and the one in the mall in Washington, D.C., the Vietnam Memorial. Here locally in the Philadelphia area, it's like, what can you do to really show your children and grandchildren and nieces, nephews, whatever, the meaning of Memorial Day? And I would just encourage everyone to visit a special place of remembrance. People don't even know that these places exist. When you mention the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, everybody thinks about the tomb in Arlington Cemetery for the unknown soldier from World War II. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier from the Revolutionary War is in Philadelphia. It's right behind Independence Hall. You just walk across the courtyard, and here is that tomb, and people don't even know that it exists. So take a visit to that tomb behind Independence Hall. Or perhaps take a visit to Gettysburg, which isn't that far away, to the cemetery there. When you look at the numbers of men and women that have lost their lives in conflicts so that we can have the life that we have and live in freedom, the Civil War, 614,000 were killed in the Civil War. That's unbelievable. As Hank had mentioned previously, 413,000 in World War II. And these are the men and women that we're honoring, those that have lost their lives in the Gulf War. And like I say, there are so many things that we can do to honor them. Looking at the activities, Gene, what we talk about the activities that we're engaged with, the parade in Downingtown.
Yes, Downingtown has a beautiful Memorial Day parade, and they march down from Beaver Creek School to the Veterans Memorial in Kerr Park, and there's a small service there, and they play the Star Spangled Banner, and we have a gentleman there. His name is Kevin. What's his last name? He was a police officer. He was used to be a state trooper, and he sings. And anyway, his last name escapes me at the moment. But he always sings that song.
Well, he sings a patriotic song, whether it be God Bless America, or he will sing some other patriotic song. He also sings the national anthem.
Yes, and it's just beautiful, and it's something that we do every year, and it's just a tradition. And I know we're losing so many of our traditions today.
Yeah, he also does America the Beautiful.
Great. The one that Louis Armstrong sings, "What's a Wonderful World?" What a wonderful world. He sings that every year too, and it's just wonderful. But that's a very nice service. And then Hank, I think there are some parades down in your area, aren't there?
There are so many parades that they're scattered around on various days, so that the American Legion and the Marine Corps League, the VFW, can provide the color guards and the honor guards that they need. I know that Saturday we have a parade in Westgrove. A small community, they march from the Avengrove High School into the center of town, and we have a memorial plaza there, and we have a speaker. It's like Norman Rockwell America to be part of that. There's a parade in Oxford. There's a parade in the little town of Marshallton. It starts at 1 o'clock or 1:15, they have a service to remember Civil War dead, and that's done in the church right in the center of town. And then they march to the cemetery, and they have this honor of the veterans there. That's on Sunday. On Monday, there's a parade in Kennett as well as the one in. So there's a lot of opportunities for people to take their children somewhere, and I'm not going to tell you that you should spend the 3 days of this holiday weekend involved in activities that remember the people who passed in service to this country, but to take one little bit of time, a couple hours out of your day, and to show your children that they need to remember and honor these people is something that we should all think about, how we can do that. And it's only a few hours, but I think it would be time well spent. I think there would be time to make an impression on our children for years to come.
Absolutely.
Also, you should do something to commemorate this day as being a day of remembrance relative to flying a flag. Half staff is a way of remembering those that have fallen. Half staff, normally you would raise your flag to full staff on the pole, and then bring it down about a third so that the flag itself, when it's hanging in a in light wind, would be about halfway down the pole. You would fly it at half. Normally you would fly it at half staff for the entire day, and then at the end of the day you would take it to the top of the pole again, and then bring it down and retire it for the evening. It's different on Memorial Day. On Memorial Day, you would raise the flag to full staff and then lower it down to half staff. And then at about 11:59 and 45 seconds, you would then start to raise it to the top, because at 12 o'clock noon, you then return the flag to full staff. You may remember, if you've ever been to a Memorial Day service and a parade, where the veterans will be parading down to the flag, and then they'll play the national anthem, they'll do the 21-gun salute, they'll play taps, and at that point the flag is raised to full staff at 12 o'clock. So at your home, fly your flag at half staff. If you have an angled pole coming off the side of your house, like a 5-foot pole, you can't just like lower it 18 inches and say it's at half staff. What you do there is you would tie a large black bow at the end of the staff, and that signifies half staff. So it shows mourning, it shows your recognition of flying at half staff.
And, then and we do have those black flags at Brandywine flags.
Yeah, the black bows that go on the end.
I'm sorry, black bows, yes.
And that would at least show that you are now honoring those, and you're teaching your children. Even just go to a cemetery and go to the veteran section of the cemetery and see all of the flags. And the flags will then be displayed at the gravesite, and there will be a marker. And look at the markers, because it will have the identity of the particular war, whether it be Vietnam, Korea, World War One, World War Two, Civil War. The Civil War would have GAR, Grand Army of the Republic, would be the marker for the Civil War. And just look at that.
Yeah, go to a local cemetery, because the veterans, the VFW, Marine Corps League, American Legion, and so forth, they get flags from the counties, and they put them on all the veterans' graves before Memorial Day, so that they're there fresh and new for Memorial Day. And it's a beautiful sight. And it, like Michael said, go and look at some of the plaques and so forth at who these people were.
Yeah, or visit a, you know, go to Valley Forge, even though Valley Forge was not a battle site. But just do something in a patriotic fashion that you would at least show your children that Memorial Day is not a day of a picnic. It's something very, very special.
It's a great opportunity to show your children who this country, or what this country is, and who the people were that fought for it, and which is something that we really need today, because these kids are not learning any of this in school. And it's just a good opportunity to for a show and tell, and bring to their consciousness who has died and fought for this country.
Yeah, that there's so little of this that is discussed anymore in the media. Again, it's all the hype of a holiday. It's not a holiday. It is a day of remembrance. It used to be Decoration Day. It all started to decorate the graves of those that have fallen. And now it is Memorial Day, where we are remembering all of those men and women. So I encourage you to do that. We at Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center have all the different flags of the military. This would be an appropriate time for you to display military flags for the different branches of service. For the POW MIA flags, all of the different things in that regard, all the U.S. flags, flag poles, all the assemblies and so forth, we have them all available. We welcome you to come and visit us. Hopefully that you will enjoy this as a day of remembrance and a day of rest. Hank, what are your closing thoughts on today?
I'd just like to add one thing. You've talked a lot about flag etiquette. If you go to a parade, the national colors come by, stand up, remove your hat,
put your hand over your heart.
Yes.
And although this isn't exactly right, I'm going to tell you that if the veterans are coming by and they're behind that flag, if you're a veteran and you want to salute the flag, go right ahead. The vets in that parade will know who you are, and they'll appreciate it. But I think one of the things that is most disturbing to people in parades is to see the flag come by and people just sit down and don't get up. And
yes.
One of the greatest memories I have is coming into West Grove one day and watching an old man in a wheelchair hit his daughter on the arm when she tried to help him as he stood up to salute the flag, because he was going to do it by himself.
Wow.
And the veterans really appreciate the respect when it's played to their flag, because they take that to heart.
They certainly do, because they fought for that, and they won. And we have the freedoms that we have today as a result. We're going to close out today. We say have a great Memorial Day weekend, and
please do something to honor the fallen.